My name is Cheryl Reese. I'm from South Dakota State University in Brookings, South Dakota. And I'm going to talk a little bit similar with the professor from Iowa, talk a little bit about the impact of our fall cover crops again on corn yields, soil nitrogen, and soil biology in the Northern Great Plains. I'm going to try to get this all done in 13 minutes. Okay. So let me give everybody a little bit of an introduction to South Dakota. People are from many different parts of the United States and also parts of the world, maybe an introduction to our climate, our crops, some of our challenges with cover crops. And then I'm going to talk about the fall seeded cover crop impact on three parameters primarily: corn yield, soil nitrogen, and soil biology. So we're located here in the Northern Great Plains, kind of in the central part of the United States, and we have a very variable climate across the state and across years as well. We typically can have a very short growing season. We can have snow as early as October. A lot of times that doesn't melt until April, and so maybe we get into the fields May 15th, something like that. To complicate the matter, sometimes we have cool, wet springs. Here's a road on Highway 12, goes through northern South Dakota. We have to drive out. We drive out there to some of our cover crop plots out in western North Dakota. And of course, here, cool, wet springs. You know, you wouldn't think you'd see a lot of this in South Dakota, but we've had, you know, climate change come on, and we've had a lot more rainfall in the northeastern part of the state, and actually over the whole state. Some years then we have drought. So managing from a farmer's perspective how cover crops fit into this can be challenging. And to add to that as well too, you know, we kind of have different climates across the state. So right here on the eastern side of the state, we have mouse. Would that go right there? Welcome to the mouse to go. Oh, there it is. Okay. So here on the eastern side of the state, glaciated soils, we have higher rainfall. One of our sites was in Andover in the northeast part of South Dakota. And then the other one here, we have a little bit lower rainfall in Trail City. By Andover, we probably get about, and during our growing season, probably about 27 centimeters of rainfall per year. Out at Trail City, it's probably closer to 17 to 18. So, crop rotation is common to the area. Typically, you look at year one, year two, and year three, and typically we have soybeans planted, first year wheat, and then corn. Due to our growing season, it's very difficult for us to follow cover crop with soybeans or with corn. And so in order for us to grow cover crops this far north, we really need to incorporate a crop like wheat that's harvested in July or August, so that gives us some time to plant cover crop and have some growth. So we looked at evaluating the rotation with soybeans, wheat, cover crop planted in the second year, and then corn planted in the third year. Concerns like you have with in Iowa was, if we plant a cover crop with our wheat the fall and then go to corn that following spring, the big concern is impact on water. Does it lower water? Sometimes we're interested in having it lower the soil water. If we've got a wet year, if it's too dry, can we plant it? Okay. So the study timeline here for what we would do in year one and year two, we plant wheat in April. The wheat's harvested at the end of July, beginning of August. And then we would come in and plant the fall cover crop mid to late August in that first year. The following year, in the spring, we plant the corn, and then we harvest the corn in October. And we're looking at the impact of that fall planted cover crop on the corn and the soil biology then in that year too. So the questions we really wanted to answer was, you know, we know that cover crop, if we have a lot of biomass there, that we're going to use soil moisture. As the rainfall increases, farmers are actually looking to use cover crops to help them potentially maybe lower soil water. But in droughty years, you know, the question is should you plant the fall cover crops? Do they take water away from the cash cover crop the following year? So the positive or a negative impact. And we wanted to look at also soil nitrate sequestration, prevent that in heavy rainfall. And then, of course, everybody's interested in the impact of the cover crop on soil biology, and so we had some samples. We worked with Ann Kennedy out at Washington State, USDA ARS, and did some analysis for us. I'm going to talk briefly about that in the end, if hopefully I have time. So it was a split plot, randomized block. We had four replications at each site. We had many different other treatments in here. We also looked at evaluating seeding the cover crop in season to the corn, but since I have 13 minutes, I don't have time to cover all that, so I'm going to concentrate pretty much on the two treatments, fall seeded cover crop and no fall cover crop. We also did end rates with this OL2, applying ammonium nitrate, and like I said, I'm just going to keep my story simple for the time that I have up here and talk about these two treatments, because they're pretty much the most important ones. These would be the treatments that the farmers would most likely implement. So Andover in 2009, when the cover crop was planted, it was planted very late, in September 9th. Here, the wheat was planted very late in the spring, and our wheat here was not harvested until Labor Day, so it was a very late year. We planted radishes, winter canola, and purple top turnip into here. Radish and winter canola. Andover the next year in 2010, it was planted on August 17th, so almost a month earlier. And here we added purple top turnips to the mixture. Trail City's West River, a different farmer, different management. Our farmer in Andover was pretty much strictly corn, soybean, wheat in a rotation, tries to do as much no-till as much as he can, does some tillage in the waterways when it's wet to kind of dry that out. Trail City, West River, drier climate out there, no-till for 20, 25 years, die-hard no-till farmers, not going to till the soil, different rotations, and of course, so he has lentils, peas, and millets around his, you know, around his farm, so throws it in, cheap seed. That's the idea of a cover crop. You don't want to spend a lot of money on it. Throws it in and plants it with his drill after his wheat. Planted August 16th, 17th, and 2010, radish, purple top, turnip, lentils, peas, and millet. So what they look like, so you guys all have a visual picture of the plots that we were working with. There on your, your left, no fall cover crop, bare wheat stubble, and then of course here, this is a, this one here is a, where it was predominated by brassicas there. And so we're looking at, you know, the impact of these changes in the fall, how does that impact the soil biology and the yield the next year on the corn. Okay, so I kind of have already went over the sites where they're located and just a little bit about the tillage. Here, when we started analyzing the data, we looked at breaking it into really three water stress environments. Of course, whenever you do field work, year to year to year, it's never the same. It's not like your greenhouse. So when you analyze the data, you got to kind of try and break it into trends to see, you know, to figure out kind of what's going on. So in 2010, we had a lot of precipitation that year in during the growing season, so we classified that as a low water stress, ample moisture. Biomass, cover crop biomass was low that year in the fall, the lowest of all, because we planted that cover crop so late, about 200 to 300 kilograms per hectare. In 2011, we had a little bit different yield year. We started out okay wet, but we got dry going into the growing season, very, very dry. So we would classify that as a moderate moisture environment, a moderate water stress, just because we did have that moisture up front in the spring. Here, the cover crop was planted very early, and we had moisture that previous year. It was very, a lot of, in the fall of 10. And, of course, we had, up to, 2,500 kilograms per hectare of biomass cover crop produced. Trail City, West River, like I said, different climate out there, lower moisture. Classify that as a high water stress environment. Okay. All right, yield and end parameters. So we looked at measuring corn yield, kilograms per hectare, and of course bushels per acre. I'm not going to report that. I would normally, when I talk to farmers, I do. And then we looked at using a mass spectrometer to measure the delta N15 signatures in the grain. You can use this to assess the nitrogen source in the plant. And basically, if the signature in the grain of the corn is lower, we make the assumption that maybe a lot of the fertilizer, the nitrogen in the grain was fertilizer derived. If it's a higher number, then we make this, we can make the assumption, the conclusion that it was more likely soil or manure derived. And when you use a mass spectrometer, you also measure a C13, and we use that to measure, to calculate yield loss to nitrogen stress and yield loss to water. And just going to go through this fast right here, but mostly I want you to look at the picture I have up here, just trying to explain to you briefly how we calculate this yield loss to water stress. When a plant is growing, it preferentially takes up carbon dioxide, the C12, in our atmosphere. We have the greatest percentage of carbon dioxide has the C12 isotope in it, but a small percentage of the carbon dioxide has the C13 isotope in the carbon dioxide molecule. So when the drought occurs and the stomates close, the plant preferentially takes up and uses up all the carbon dioxide C12 first, and then it's forced to use the C13. So then this leads to different signatures, once again, of the C13 in the seed and in the grain. So we can use this as a measure to relate back to water stress. Okay. All right, so 2010, low water stress environment. We didn't see any impact of the fall cover crop on yield, grain, delta N15 signature, or any of our yield loss functions, nitrogen or water. The spring soil test nitrate with the fall cover crop was less. Okay, so we had 45 kilograms per hectare versus 67. So we had nitrate that was sequestered in the cover crop biomass. Fall cover crop did not impact soil moisture that previous fall. We had a lot of rainfall. Let's see, I'm running out of time. I'm going to not talk about the summit versus foot slope. I'm going to primarily concentrate on cover crop so that I can get done. Moderate water stress environment. Actually, the fall cover crop did reduce the yield. Fall cover crop yield was about 10,000 kilograms per hectare, whereas we didn't have a fall cover crop, it was about 11,800. Once again, grain delta N15, the fall cover crop increased the plant's use of soil-derived N. It also increased the yield loss to water stress. So this year, when we had a moderate water stress environment, and we dried out in that summer in July and August, we saw some reduction in yield in those fall cover crop plots. Once again, though, we saw when we measured soil nitrate that it was sequestered in the biomass. Okay, here we looked at the soil moisture that previous fall, and when we looked at where those cover crop was for primarily growing, we saw that we reduced moisture in that 15 to 30 centimeter range. And here, this was when we had 42% greater average rainfall during that time. So these cover crops, these brassicas, because we had 2,000 kilograms per hectare out there, we were using a lot of water and moving a lot of water through the soil. Okay, this is what they look like, and really had that active root zone there that, you know, depleted that water. 2011, Trail City, high water stress environment. Once again, a very different system based upon the crops and the 20 years of no-till. Cover crops did not impact yield negatively at all. We actually saw a slight increase in cover crop yield, and here we sequestered nitrogen again as well. Okay. Quick on soil biology. We did, Ann Kennedy did phospholipid fatty acid analysis, and here what we basically look at is you can tell, get a thumbprint of the microbial community, because when microorganisms die in their cell membranes, they have different mixture of mono unsaturated and saturated fatty acids. And so we used this to look at trying to assess the soil biology, sampled in May and October. And what we basically saw was that the cover crop increased the relative bacteria to fungi ratio, averaged across two sampling dates, landscape positions, and locations. The C to N ratio of these cover crops was very low, so equals lots of nitrogen. Okay? Typically, when you return unharvested carbon with low C to N ratios, it tends to favor bacteria, and this may be the explanation for that increased ratio. Right? Mycorrhizal markers, everybody who's familiar with cover crops, mycorrhizae is something that we look at, trying to expand the root system, help the plant pick up more nutrients and water. What we saw here, we did not see a cover crop impact. We really didn't think we would in 1 year, but what we did learn was the summit versus foot slope positions, as we sampled those differently, 3 out of the 4 sites and dates, we saw that the mycorrhizae markers were higher at the summit versus the foot slope. So why is that? pH and waters, probably something that we can look at there. Summit positions tend to have a lower pH than the foot slope. Bacteria tend to favor that higher pH. The water, bacteria tend to favor more moisture, where fungi tend to favor drier environments. Okay, so So just a summary on that. I pretty much ran out of time, so I'm going to go down here. Cover crops after winter wheat did scavenge in our semi-arid and frigid environments. But too much cover crop can decrease water from deeper in the soil profile, especially when you go into that next year if it's going to be dry. And so basically what we would look at here is with that large amount of biomass we had planted in Andover with a lot of rainfall and that wet fall, maybe we could reduce the seeding rates or delay seeding a little bit so you could get the benefit of the fall cover crop with a lower biomass production to conserve water. And so that's what I have.
Okay.